Today's meeting, psychic and spiritual powers, always an interesting topic. We trust the greater interest will come out in the discussion and the questions, the contributions. So we will offer a few ideas. First, we will start with the idea of what is psychism or psychic powers as regards theosophy, and then we'll be followed by our panel, our fellow panelists on the spiritual side of power. Okay, so to the student of theosophy, psychic, it's very common to read about, to think about psychic or spiritual powers. It's part of what we do. We know they exist. We're aware as students of the dangers and pitfalls of dabbling. We don't dabble in the psychism. We learn about it. We investigate it. Why do we investigate it? We'll talk about that. But let's bear in mind it's a far more spiritual pursuit for one to develop one's ability to see the universal principles in life, the fundamental principles of life in action on the physical plane and participate them and apply the fundamental principles of theosophy, which are spiritual principles. Far more spiritual to live a life of action on the physical plane than it ever could be to pursue things in the astral, to get into these seances, the metaphysics of things, or dabble with spiritual guides. The spiritual guide is the true spiritual guide is in our own heart and higher mind. The purpose, however, interestingly, of the third object of the Theosophical movement, in part, is to be able to explain and help, and in time, to so disseminate knowledge and create public awareness of such dangers, as well as even to protect the natural psychic himself. There are folks out there who have these sensitivities, may not even realize it, and sometimes, and you know, probably many of us do, and trip over our own trousers because we don't realize they're longer than they should be, and maybe we need to hem them in, right? So what do we even mean when we say these words, psychic powers, spiritual powers? Well, as regards psychic power, well, there are two kinds of seership. Two kinds of seership in terms of the use of psychic powers or spiritual powers. There's for purpose for today in this meeting, there is the seership of the soul. And for today's meeting, we're going to refer to the seership of the soul as the lower use of psychic powers. Because as we learn in theosophy, the soul isn't one thing, there are different aspects to the human being. There are different natures of soul, okay? So there's that of the soul, the lower use, and that of the spirit or the spiritual, which is the higher use. As regards the psychic, as regards spirit, is the seership of the medium or the seership even of a mesmerized subject. These are both psychic, in particular, if money is exchanged. But the mesmerized subject and the medium, they simply just vary in the modes by which these psychic experiences are brought about. But the vision of both of them depend entirely, more or less, on the development of their own astral senses. This is the astral we're talking about. And so, in this sense, this kind of seership varies widely from the perfect omniscient spiritual state, from the spiritual use of power. At best, the subject, the medium, or the subject of of mesmerism can perhaps get a glimpse of truth through a veil which physical nature, so he can get a glimpse of truth, but there are still those veils because of one's own karma. The astral principle or mind, so we're going to talk about the mind here. And often we hear in theosophy, you say the mind is one. There's the higher nature and the lower nature of mind. Okay. It can reasonably, for purposes of discussion, we can engage in the nature of there is the lower mind, the lower aspect of the mind, and the higher mind. So we're going to just look at two sides of that mind. So in that sense, the lower mind, which is the aspect which is for average people of today, all of us, most of us, it's embroiled in the astral. It's embroiled in personal desires. And the lower mind is inseparable from the physical brain. The lower mind is involved in the astral, and it's inseparable from the physical brain. The physical brain is the instrument of mind. Let's not forget, though, the lower mind holds the brain in subjection. And as HBB says, the lower mind is in turn equally trammeled by the physical brain and the desires. So that connection is some crazy stuff. So this is the ego, the intellectual life principle of man. While it is within the material body as the astral mind, still the clearness and correctness of its spiritual visions depend entirely on its more or less intimate relation to the higher principle, to the higher side of mind. So do we have that highway, so to speak, of thought, of ideas, the communication between the lower and the higher, between our desires and our higher mind. When the relation is such, our computer's getting crazy, sorry, when the relation is such as to allow the ethereal portions of the soul to act independent of the brain, of the gross essence of the brain, then the mind can unerringly comprehend what it sees as the thing that it is, the truth of the matter. Then it is pure, rational. It is a supersentient soul. So we move forward or exist in the highest condition of spirituality as possible in our lives. The Western student must study and use, oh, yeah. So the Western student must study and use intuition to understand these different aspects of mind. Why? Because of the limitation of Western languages. People who speak Hindi or Sanskrit can have this kind of a conversation and talk about the mind using 10 different words about the mind's functions and powers. At this stage of the game, we don't have that. So we have to go back and study and use our intuition and read between the lines, spend some time in in the Key to Theosophy. There's a lot going on there. So the investigation of the hidden mysteries of nature under every aspect possible, and the psychic and spiritual powers latent in man. This is the third object of the Theosophical movement. As a corollary to this, the teachings are clear in regards to the phenomena that are involved. We learn the facts behind the phenomena. We learn about the dangers of the phenomena and make every effort to interpret them correctly. HPB tells us long ago she was told that in America, America would again become the home of black magic, that we have a karmic inheritance from our days as Atlanteans. Those astral images are among us. There's nothing new under the sun. And if we're going to make the effort to involve ourselves in them, then there are karmic consequences to that. So if we're discussing issues in psychism, the danger in psychism, with whomever, with a friend, or whomever, anyone who has a particular interest in psychism or who practices psychism, it's important for the student of theosophy, of course, maintain the brotherhood, that's first, but use tact in understanding and emphasize that no matter how, shall we say it, no matter how psychic or insightful we are, there's always more behind what we're able to see. And so there's a certain protection when we're living in the physical with spiritual intentions, with the intentions to serve others, and without opening up ourselves to things that we may not know how to get out once they come in. Mr. Judge says that we should avoid mediumship in every form and allow neither curiosity nor self-interest to bribe your better judgment. Study and investigate all things in order that you may know and understand, but do not encourage that in others which you deem to be hurtful to yourselves. But also do not denounce the person who's practicing such psychism. Just dispassionately or impersonally, discuss it. Discuss the dangers of mediumship. How do we do that? By learning the sevenfold nature of the human being. When we learn the sevenfold nature, we find what is more attracted to that and what has no time for that. Learn the states after death. When we get a clear understanding of what's going on there, we realize it's not a place you go to far, far away. All those states are present with us, and we're protected from them if we live simply a life of virtue with the intentions to help others. So we'll leave it at that. Hopefully there'll be more discussion on that, and we'll ask our panelists to pick up on the spiritual side of these issues.
So one thing we did want to start out with is since we're going to be looking at spiritual powers, we did want to mention that yesterday in Mr. Judge's book of quotations for yesterday, the quotation was, "The road up which we must climb to rise above karma and thus be able to help our fellow men with conscious power, well directed, is that one marked with the signs of charity and love." So these are two of the spiritual powers. So we're going to look at the idea of what are the spiritual powers, how do we quote, develop them, and a little bit about what spirit is. And we have some quotations from Mr. Crosby later on in our talk that are very interesting and very helpful in regards to this idea of spiritual powers. So, as was said with our announcements, the umbrella for this month, the umbrella topic is psych. Yeah, we just forgot what it was.
Psychism and spirituality.
Thank you. Psychism and spirituality. And today our talk is about psychic and spiritual powers. So we're kind of getting off the beginning of the month with a basic discussion on what psychism and spirituality and the powers involved are actually what they're actually are. So we just heard about what psychic powers are, so let's look at the idea of spiritual powers. And we wonder about spiritual powers, and we just assume that we can progress to a more spiritual level by developing these powers. But the real question that people want answers to is, how can I attain these spiritual gifts? And but we have to be content to wait and to work, to grow and develop until we develop into the perfected human being, because these powers just don't occur overnight. It's not like we can sit and wait for development. So how do we develop these spiritual powers then? They emerge gradually over many, many lifetimes. The main impulse behind it being that of helping others, universal brotherhood. And one of the main things is that we really have to clear our minds of all the clutter of non-spiritual ideas, feelings, and actions. And there's actually a real need to develop, to de detach ourselves from this material life, which is what takes so long to emerge. Are these powers emerge because there's so much distraction in today's life? And what's interesting is that we learn that this materialism is actually the denial of the true self. This materialism, it is what most of us focus on, and we kind of ignore the idea that we are spiritual beings, not just those that are we consider to be on the path to becoming spiritual. But also, everyone has that, is that spark of the all in them. So, one of the quotes from Mr. Crosby says, "True spirituality is not a hazy condition, not a mere existence without action, but the power to know and to do. To have what the ancients called all-knowingness. When we reach this all-knowingness, then we are truly divine, divine in knowledge, divine in power, acting through every conceivable state of matter and through every conceivable instrument. And that is our great destiny. Just let us seize it. Life is ours, spirit is ours, consciousness is ours, external existence, I'm sorry, eternal existence is ours." So what he ends with, just let us take it in. So that is what Mr. Crosby's idea of spirituality is. And we decided to quote it because he has such a wonderful way of explaining things that we didn't want to mess it up. So, what are we striving for then when we're actually looking at these ideas of spiritual power? And as we said, we really shouldn't be forcing the issue. We have to be content to wait and to work. These gifts may be evidences of progress on higher planes of thought and spiritual life. and they may be used for the benefit of others, but they are not in themselves the chief object of human desire. Man's main aim should be God, and it's that God within, that God is love. The spiritual gifts are desirable, but they are not on the highest plane. They are not the main object of human attainment or the best way of maintaining human perfection. What they are examples of what we are doing, what we have done. They go along with the idea that that particular human being is progressing to the point where their minds are clear from distractions and materialism, and they can focus on what is real, what is not real, but what is real. And they will then have the ability to pursue these spiritual powers. Now, let me have that, please. We noticed that in in our little periodical that we have, the back of it has the declaration on it. And when we look at how are we going to develop these spiritual powers, it's amazing how the declaration really puts forth the ideas of how we do develop. And we don't want to use the word develop, and we'll explain why in a minute. So when we look at the policy of the lodge, it is focused on impersonality. And Mr. Crosby, who did take bits and pieces from HPB and Mr. Judge's writings to develop this declaration, one of his main focuses, because he realized what happens when people become too personal with these ideas. And with impersonality, it's one of those things that leaves us open to being able to look at the spiritual side of nature. And it says, through a truer realization of the self, and that's in capital letters, which means that we're looking at the higher nature, that Buddhi-Manus principle, and a profounder conviction of universal brotherhood. So it is important that we do look at the idea of universal brotherhood from a spiritual aspect, because we're spirit. Our brother is spirit, our sister is spirit, the lower kingdoms are all spirit. So it's important that we look at this idea of universal, and as that will open up our minds and hearts to be the better able to help and teach others. And then these spiritual powers will be able to come through. And he also talks about a similarity of aim, purpose, and teaching, that we have no constitution, bylaws, or officers. The soul bond between being that basis, and the whole idea is to disseminate these ideas. Now, the whole thing that we're looking at here, again, is impersonality. And we need to concentrate on that so that our nature, our lower nature, is not looking, I'm sorry, that our lower nature's not interfering with our growth. So when we're talking about the powers, what are they? So the spiritual powers, wisdom, true knowledge, faith, healing, and when also the work of miracles. Now, in reality, the philosophy really doesn't put forth that there are miracles, but as one progresses, they are able to do actions that are that look like miracles, but in reality, it's karma that is the true idea behind these what are called miracles. And of course, faith, hope, and charity, and love being the greatest of them all. So again, Mr. Crosby talked, and this is from Man, Visible and Invisible. He talks about the idea that the spirit is not outside of us, that the spirit is in us, and that we all have this idea of spirit within us. So whatever differences we may be able to perceive in any other are not differences of spirit.